Before we do that, though, just put a bookmark in your mind. Where am I strongest? Where am I weakest in those 8 traits? Go ahead and take your strength. I'm good at this. I'm bad at that. Can you find one at least out of this? As we think about Ephesians and how it says, bring up your children. Fathers, do not provoke your children, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. We have 8 traits coming out of there. Where are you weakest? Where do you think you're strong? Where's your strength lie? So I'm going to give you where my strength lies today, and that is gentle correction. I think because I counsel a lot, that's probably where I most have the ability to see God use me with my children. My wife is really good at consistent consequences, so we're a dynamic duo. You know, it's your turn, honey. No, it's not. We had a talk yesterday about it wasn't a consequence as much as a structuring the environment talk. And I was wobbly on an area, and we had a good talk. And this is, it's kind of come out. Luke, here it comes. Naomi is very mama-like. She's very affectionate, very nurturing. And so she had this little kitty that, you know, was squealing in the garage. I thought it was our other cat, so I just left it out in the garage. Said it'll come in when it wants. And then a few days later, Naomi said, there's a cat kitty out in the garage, the same squeal. And this thing was this little bitty. And it was, I don't know how it got into our garage except the Lord. And so it got into our garage and she helped nurse it. You know, so you get this little baby and you're kidding. You see it maybe 3 months in. And I was trying to tell her, this is not staying here, you know. And then part of, as I was saying that inside, I'm saying, yeah, it is. I'm fighting that because, you know, I have that gentle side that I don't want to see my children emotionally distraught. And this is when it really became the law that the cat is not staying, is when Aaron said in a conversation at dinner time, you know the cat isn't staying here, Naomi. I'm like, all right. So we're not, even though emotionally I wanted to say yes, she's right. The structuring the environment, that's part of it. Should we allow Naomi to just be emotionally attached to things to the point that it's not good? See? Should we do that? And I'm like, yeah. It's just, she's just 15. You know, this will be fine. Let her have the cat. I mean, she cried. I'm not telling you to get rid of that cat. Keep that cat. But I have to be, help them see that this was a reality. She really wanted to keep this cat. And the tissues were all over the floor. She didn't sleep at all the night before we gave the cat away yesterday. And just letting you know, this was a big deal to her. But she needed to do this. And so I am in the car. We're ready to drive the cat over to Luke and Victoria's house. And Naomi went inside because the cat had scratched her here. And her the cat was, you know, clinging to her or whatever. I don't know what was going on in the car. But anyway, so she was in the house. And I look at my wife. And I say, I don't think this is best. This is it. This is, what are you talking about? You know, and she's like, you're really making this hard, honey. And I'm like, but I'm just letting you know how I feel about this. Feelings don't matter. No, I'm just kidding. But I wanted to try to be careful because I thought this is really rough on her. But the truth is, though I may be good at gentle correction, there is a tendency that you can find a crack in my resistance to structuring the environment if you pull on my heart. And Rebecca will tell you that there were times she did that, and I didn't know she did that. But somehow we did okay with her in the end of what God did. But I think gentle correction, structuring the environment, you know, that bringing them up in the discipline, not just the gentleness of the Lord, right? But let's look today at what you have an outline called a gentle correction. And I'm just going to fill these in for you. And along the way, this is going to be a review of last week when we talked about when you're correcting your children or teaching them, even telling them what the scripture says practically, why it says that, and when it applies. And this was my six steps, as it were, in discipline, which we'll cover more later. But gentle correction comes in here as we talk about this one here. We pray with our children. We use the word when they need to be corrected. We add or take away if they need more to help them learn that thing that they are not learning. Lightning bolt is here. That is the idea that corporal discipline. Five is we may call a leader from the church to help us, or civil authorities as they get older. But gentle correction, you have, we're to bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. That's what it says in Ephesians 6:4, to bring your children up in the instruction of the Lord. So, this is what the passage says. The Lord's bondservant must not be what? Quarrelsome. Think about that with your children. But be what? Kind to all, even when they're rebellious. Able to teach. Using the word, in other words. Patient when wronged. So when they treat you poorly, you don't answer a fool like a fool. Or they become wise in their own eyes. Proverbs 26:4. You're undermining your own ability to correct them. If they become foolish and you become foolish, right, you're empowering the fool. And they need to be corrected, not combated. You know, gentle correction. Here it comes. If perhaps, patient when wrong, with gentleness correcting, those are the two words, those are in opposition. If perhaps God may grant them repentance. That's a very critical understanding there. It's God's job. It's not your job to get your children to repent. It's your job to gently correct, to be kind, to teach, to be patient, to not quarrel. If perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to, that repentance leads somewhere, fruit of it, to the knowledge of the truth. It is best to give the cat away. I know that's a small thing in some ways that Naomi needed to repent, but it's where the rest of our life, as Christians, we are turning from our way when we recognize it to the wisdom way, to God's way. It's not be perfect, but these moments of suffering can bring out an awareness. I need to turn from what I think I need to be happy and turn to what God says I need to be happy. Are you guys ever there? Right? You want this thing. Your emotions say, I can't live without it. Like, who was the gal that said in the Bible? Here I am. I'm stumping myself. Give me children or I die. Rachel, give me children or I die. You ever feel that way about something? So here we are asking God to grant repentance to our children through our gentle correction. It's a cooperative effort between you and God. Are you doing your part as God does his part? You cannot change the heart of your child. Just accept it. But you can speak and structure in such a way that the Holy Spirit can grow what you sow. Be faithful to that. So, here's what it goes on to say. Grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth of the thing, objective truth. This is what must be done. This is the right way to look at this. And they may come to their senses. What a great picture. And escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. So that verse, for me, has been a plumb line. To evaluate myself. If you get nothing else out of what we say in these weeks, this verse should go with you, because the reality is your children will need correction. How will you give correction? And what's your purpose of that? To see God grant repentance, or you control the situation, right? This is going to be that you have to learn, right? Gentle correction. So let's look at this more fully.
Hey, Jim, quick question.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a quick question, but I appreciate that emphasis is God who has to work through what you're doing.
Right.
What if his timing's different than yours and they don't come to repentance right yet?
Right.
So there's that
attachment
and that bad attitude. How?
Yeah. Do you look for it immediate? How do you handle that? Yeah.
Yeah, how do you handle that?
Yeah. Good example would be last night. I have these fresh examples, so my children never look back at the things that are recorded about them. I have to be very careful how I say things. But so last night, Timmy did not want to eat the rubbery eggs that Aaron cooked. He called them rubbery. That was his view of it. So he ate almost all of it but three bites. And I was sitting there, and Aaron reminded me, hey, honey, he hasn't eaten all his dinner. Because I was ready just to move on. Oh, he hasn't, is he? Okay, you got to finish that, right? So I said, you got to finish that. They're rubbery. Honey, you can do what you need. You can do anything, really. You can eat that. No, I cannot eat it. I cannot eat it. And he's just like so ingrained, I cannot eat this. And so he gets a little bit frustrated with the fact that he's got to eat these rubbery eggs after he's eaten everything else. I'm just leaving two bites. Come on. You know. So I would have said two bites, okay. But together, right? We're in this together. We're going to get him to eat those two bites. And I think that's important, you know. So far, so successful. So why would I stop now, right? Why would I start following my emotion when these moments happen? So I said, you got to eat him. No, you're not getting up to eat those two bites. And then, so we go somewhere, we get some things done. I come back, it's an hour later. He's laying on he's laying on the chairs. You know, talk about immediate obedience, right? So, you know, you're sitting here trying to decide, you know, honey, you can eat those things. Point is, so he was frustrated. He was upset. I had to let him get up and shower and go to bed. So that's basically his night for about 2 hours or whatever. He went to bed. And I said, now tomorrow you'll be eating these two bites. You know, what if I starve? I said, honey, isn't that wrong to make your child starve? It's like, oh, come on, come on. Are you kidding me? So he did. He had this attitude, and I couldn't quite correct it. So here's what happened when he got out of the shower. I said, honey, I want to show you this passage of Scripture. I want to talk to you. And gentle correction, right? And there is some follow-up discipline that will occur delayed here because he was angry, Joel. So there is a sense in which I'm going to, once he today eats those bites, realizes he comes back to his senses, right?
Which he did.
Which he did today? He did eat them? Okay, good. So he's back to his senses already. But now I have to come back and say, now, honey, during this saga, you had anger. You had frustration. You were disrespectful at times. This is what has to happen now. You're going to write some verses. I'm going to take away this. Maybe I'll have you eat eggs for 2 days. I mean, I don't know. I could do that, right? Wouldn't that be a good training cut? You're going to eat rubbery eggs now on top of those two bites. No, just kidding. We'll figure it out. We'll figure this out. But I showed him, turn to this, because I want to show you what I showed him. Philippians chapter 4. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is Steve Green's. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? So Philippians chapter 4. I started back in verse 11. I said, honey, I just want you to read this. Now, why did I have him read it? Because I want him to hear it. You know, the brain has to kind of hear it when you're reading it.
I gate and hear
it. That's good. So he went, not that I speak from one. I got to have to understand. I got to be able to understand this. So I'm just giving you an insight into what can happen. What do you do here? Now, could I spank him? Yes, I could. Have I done that before in those moments? Yes, I have. Right? When do you spank? When do you don't? Well, you can figure that out as you go along. You know, as your child grows, what do they need right now? At nighttime, often is not, in my opinion, a very good time to spank unless I really, really have to. because they're tired and they're probably out of sorts and it would be very hard to be effective. And I'm tired, right? And so I can delay discipline in some ways, but not regularly. You got to be careful how much you do this. Anyway, so here's what I said. He read it, and I went to verse 13. I said, so, son, see, you can do how many things? All things. I know it's hard sometimes. But then I began to open his mind to some other things. I said, you know, there are many, many hard things that we will have to do in our life. You know, look at what Ukraine's going through. Look at those folks. And I just started to talk about just reality. This is reality. God gives us hard things sometimes. But the key is, are you going to let Jesus strengthen you? I have had to say, Jesus, strengthen me. I said, you know how you get strength from Jesus? You believe it's there for you. And I just, like this, I just got quiet. I said, the minute you say, I believe God, you can strengthen me, you get that strength. And then you do it. You do it. This is the verse. So I may have him write this a few times, maybe draw some pictures of him eating rubbery eggs. I don't know. Somehow to help him meditate and realize when we have food in front of us, we eat. So, you know, we have done this before, these kind of things with him, but you never end tweaking and tightening that up again. At different ages, different strategies. But Scripture here, gently correcting. So Joel, he went to bed. I went in there and he had his covers over his head, put my hand on him like I always do, and I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I said, I got to see your face, though. So I was still in charge, but he didn't really want the charge of having to eat that. So I pulled the covers back and, you know, said, love you. I hope tomorrow will be a good day, but you will be having to eat those eggs. Get it done. Actually, mix it up in your Slurpee if you want. You won't even taste it, I said. He did? Oh, that's what he did. He followed my advice. See how obedient he is? It takes my suggestion, put it in his Slurpee, and there it is. So these are the moments, you know, we win, and they win because of it. But if we give that up, we've lost in that battle, and it could lead to the war, losing that war. These are moments. So, Joe, I don't know if that answers the question.
Yeah, but it does, and it's just very practical. And to hear you talk about there was a gentleness on your part, that you were...
Yeah, I wanted to become a fool. Yeah.
Patient.
Yeah, there were times I wanted to answer him like a fool. What are you thinking? You're so foolish. I mean, come on. Come on. Are you kidding me? See all those things? Would that have been great? The Lord's bondservant does not quarrel. He's kind to all, patient when wronged, gently correcting, and hopes God will grant repentance. And today, God has granted him repentance. Now, I will say, and we'll talk about this in another subsequent session, that gentle correction needs to be surrounded by daily conversations about God. You can't just bring God out when they're in trouble. All right, here it comes. God is only good for when you're in trouble, right? No. So on the way, we're driving to do our weekly ball time together, he and I, where we pass the ball and he swings and he gets better at it, baseball. And on the way, Aaron was there. I said, let's think of five verses that we can think on here today as we start our day. And I said, so what verses? And I said, how about Ephesians 1? And I went through, as a prisoner of the Lord, got all humility, gentleness, patience. He said, is that in Ephesians? I said, yeah, it is. That's great. And I said, that reminds me of Romans 12:18, that we should...
Actually, that's in Galatians.
Ephesians 4?
I'm wrong.
Romans 12:18.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Make every effort to be at peace with all men as far as it depends on you. That's the other one. So we just went through some verses just on the fly. It was just extemporaneously. It was just there it was. Why did I do that? Because I was feeling a little unspiritual, honestly. I was feeling like, and I need to tighten this up so we're thinking Godward. You know? And so just stop. And you can get the Steve Green. That was what was so great about Steve Green's little album when the kids were growing up. I'd just pop it in, and all of a sudden I'd be super spiritually powered. You know, because I'd hear these great verses. Do everything without complaining. On and on. These verses are very practical.
Can we still get that Steve Green?
Yeah. In fact, I was going to drop by and bring some here, but maybe next week. And see if you guys want to grab them. I don't know what they cost.
We have them at the office.
Yeah, we have them at the office. I don't know what they cost. We get a percentage off. So, all right, guys. So let me just keep through this here now that you get the sense of it. What is gentle correction? Here's one way to say it. It's using the scripture remedially, right, and persuasively. Don't just say remedially, but persuasively with the character of Christ as the example, seeking to uncover sin for the child at the heart level, not just behavioral, seeking spiritual conviction. Now that just rolls off the lips, spiritual conviction. What does that mean? Spirit-wrought conviction through the Word, where they see themselves before God in a new way. Not fully, but in a new way. They say, yeah, this was wrong. This was the way for children, often ugly, the word ugly. That's a word I learned coming to South Carolina. A lot of people said ugly down here. Don't be ugly. You know, I was like, what is that? What does that mean? I guess that is kind of an emotional don't do what's ugly to people, right? So ugly is, the Spirit helps you to see what ugly looks like. And you don't want, anyone want to be ugly? Raise your hand, right? Nobody wants to be ugly, right? Except you want this thing so bad, you're willing to be ugly. In the end, you step back and you look and say, man, I was ugly. It's important for a child to step back and look at themselves, right? Say, I was ugly. That was ugly to what? Say that to your sister. Because it grieves the Spirit's work in your relationship. We don't want to grieve each other. We don't want to hurt each other. Be kind. So, using it for spiritual conviction of the ugliness, the danger, and the foolishness of sin before God. Those are three very specific words you can find in Scripture that when the Spirit of God convicts a man or woman of their sin, they see the ugliness of sin, they see the danger of sin, and they see the foolishness of it. What do you mean the foolishness? There's so much better for you than this, right? David, if that was too little for you, I would have given you more. That's Nathan working into David repentance. This is dangerous, you know, what David did. This is also ugly, what David did. You took this person's wife. And it's dangerous because I'm provoked by your sin. I am angered by you, what you've done. And it's foolish, David. I would have been given you more. I want to see God do that in my children's heart when it comes to how we treat people, when it comes to how we deal with sin. All while remaining humbly aware and admitting your own battle against the deception of sin. Do you hear what I just said? So that's another piece in here. This is a shortened way of saying what you're learning in this whole session. Being aware of your own failures when you correct your children's failures. Not to minimize the importance of them having spiritual conviction, but you to recognize, I can't restore you if I don't recognize I have a tendency to it too. I can't. You are not qualified. According to Galatians 6:1, you who are spiritual, restore anyone caught in any sin, but look to yourselves, lest you too be tempted. You be aware of your own inabilities. When Rebecca was very hard to deal with, Isaac was really wrestling with how hard Becca was to deal with. Because she would mess up moments that we could have had great times. And I'm not saying this to make Becca feel bad, because she's done a 180 in so many ways. So, but Isaac said something mean to her. Did something very mean. And I wasn't upset with him as much as I was concerned about him, because I wanted his heart not to get bitter, right? And so I went in there, and before I spanked him, because I had to spank him for this, I said, listen, before I spank you, I want to tell you something. I struggle too at times and want to say mean things, but we must not give in to that. I'm going to pray for you right now, and I'm going to spank you. You can't give in to this. You can't. It will destroy you. We're going to try to help Becca get better. And if we're bitter, we can't help her get better. So those are gentle moments, right? To get that into her. Help him hear it. Let's keep going. many parents think of child training as only involving consistent consequences, right? We just go around, tell them, you're grounded, you're in trouble. But the Bible says it's the rod and what that give wisdom. Rod and what does it say? Reproof. Ephesians 6:4 says we're to bring up children in both the discipline and the instruction. Don't get out of balance here. I can get out of balance because I figure I can just gently correct a child into everything they need. That is not true. Other people may think I can just discipline them into everything they need. Just, nope, you're grounded. Now get better. Mm-hmm. Nope, not true. It's the rod and what? Reproof. It is instruction and discipline, right? It is gentle correction that is used as your discipline holds back the sin. Reproof changes more of the heart. You got to have both working. You got to have both working, right? So, when children have sinned, parents need to talk in love, not just discipline in love. Okay? You need to do both. And it gives you a chance to collect yourself. I find that I am far better prepared to discipline them after I have gently corrected them than if I just go into it as an angry sinner. Angry at another sinner who I'm in charge of right now. Right? So I have to say things to help the Spirit of God awaken me to the importance of what I'm about to do. Right? If I have to discipline them. So try to put spiritual correction at times, at least in your own mind, in front of your disciplining of your children. You have to renew your mind in order to help their hearts hear from God. Speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. The word instruction in Ephesians 6:4 is the Greek nouthateo, and it's often translated as admonishment. King James does it in this passage. And this, by the way, is biblical counseling began called nouthetic counseling. Nouthateo, admonishment. It's the idea of putting in the mind. There's two purposes for this idea of instruction. It's to help reprove us and to correct us. So reproof is a child identifies their sin and starts to see it as dangerous, as foolish, as ugly. I know it can be complicated, and that's why sometimes you need two parents or you need another person helping you think about these things, because not everyone just comes to them, these verses, right? But the more you're in it, the more you have four or five passages that you're using for your child, the more you'll have them ready. Like if I ask you right now, do you have two or three verses that you're praying over your children? Mm-hmm. Or that you know this child needs to get this, and God has described what that is in Scripture somewhere. What is it? You know? What is your... I challenge you, get to those passages that your children need. They're deficient in the knowledge of that at some level, depending on their age, right? And you bring that to them. You help them get there. So reproof and correction is a child identifies what is Christ-like, sees it as good, pleasing, and perfect. See, my job with Timmy here about eating isn't done until he not only sees that that was really foolish to not eat those bites and lay on that chair yesterday, but that it would have been so much more good and best. And it's more attractive, it's more winsome to be like Jesus who eats two bites, even if they're rubbery. He needs to see, yeah, that's right. Reproof, correction. I can do all things through Christ. I can avoid this in the future. So here is instruction involves using the Word of God for two different reasons. What am I supposed to do and not do in this situation? Why did I disobey and why should I obey? So you've got, again, why. And they're right there in the Word of God. So let the Word of God direct your correction when that is. Like if I were to ask you, why didn't Timmy eat those two bites? There's a lot of reasons we could biblically come up with. But if I've got Philippians 4:13 in front of me, okay, I can do all things through Christ. Because he didn't let Jesus strengthen him. That's why. That's as deep as it has to get. Yeah. But you as a parent didn't eat all your food? Well, you better hide that then.
Yeah. She'll be like, well, you didn't eat your food, but I don't want to have to do what she does.
Yeah. Well, I don't know exactly why you didn't eat your food, but you probably had a good reason.
Yes.
You didn't like the rubberiness of it? Well, I guess this, yeah, well, you have your reasons. Say, well, my reasons for doing this is above your reasons for doing it. In other words, I have some things that I'm not doing this for, and you maybe can explain it to her. But you do need to say to her, but regardless, you know, I have to set the rules for you. You know, I'm avoiding certain things for my health or whatever, but you need to eat these for your nutrition. And then go back to, you know, you shouldn't criticize the people that are in charge of you. Remember, it says, do not judge one another, lest you be judged. You know, you don't criticize. You don't look to see what others are doing. Another passage is where Peter says, what about him? And that's at the end of the Gospels. When he was told he's going to die a different death, and Jesus said, what is that to you? You follow me. Everyone has a different level of responsibility in situations. Your responsibility right now is to eat what's in front of you. My responsibility is to decide what's best for my body. You'll get that chance one day when you're older, but not right now. So you gently correct with those thoughts. All right, we're going to have to wrap up in a few minutes. We just got 2 minutes according to my little thing here. This is the verse, though. I want you to fill this in quickly if you've got your blanks there. 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26 says that Apostle Paul is instructing Timothy in how to most effectively help those who rebelliously oppose his leadership. In these verses, Paul gives Timothy 5 characteristics necessary for rightly reproving a rebel. In verse 25 of this passage, Paul gives the last of the 5 characteristics, gently correcting. You would not suspect these two terms would be included together. This is not the combination that we would naturally employ in dealing with an offending opponent. Gentle correction? Are you kidding, right? Yet, we should tell our politicians this, shouldn't we? Hello. Yet, parents bringing up children in the Lord must learn to combine both ideas as one when seeking to persuade a child to change. We must confront the behavior and motivation, but do so gently, if we're to be a tool of repentance. Let's explore the passage. And then here's the filling in the blanks here. The Lord's bondservant, you must recognize as a bondservant of Christ, you have no right to be treated with respect from your children, but rather a responsibility from the Lord to train them to respect you. You have a responsibility, you must not fail, to at least model that this is important. You don't have a right, though. It's not about rights. You lost your rights at the cross. You know? When you sinned, you lost all your rights. How's that sound? Except to hell. Now you've been redeemed. Now you have a responsibility. You've been given a responsibility now. You must not quarrel. What is that we're talking about there? You must put off sinful alternatives to gentle correction. Grumbling against a child, scolding a child, arguing with a child, belittling a child, ignoring a child, verbally attacking a child. If you can add "you stupid idiot" at the end of the phrase, don't say it. How many times do I have to tell you stupid idiot? That's really nice, isn't it? That God will really work through that one right there. Yes, I come to the altar. But if you do it, what do you have to do? Seek forgiveness. So you have to repeatedly seek forgiveness when you do that. Scolding is never in order. This is Clay Trumbull, who was began the Sunday school in 1891. In dealing with a child, any other duty in life, to scold is to assail, to revile, boisterous speech. Scolding is always an expression of a bad spirit and a loss of temper. If a child has done wrong, Clay says, a child needs talking to. But no parent ought to talk to a child while you're not able to talk in a natural tone of voice with carefully measured words. If the parent is tempted to speak rapidly, to multiply words without stopping, to weigh them, or to show an excited state of feeling, the parent's first duty is to gain entire self-control. Until that control is secure, there is no use of parent trying to attempt any measure of child training. Pretty good words from director of that Sunday school, first Sunday school. He's the author of Sunday school. So, basically. And then, be kind to all. God's kindness leads to repentance. That's a big part of what you play. So you put off bearing a grudge. You overcome evil with good. Able to teach the Word of God. This is the Word of God that produces faith, restores the soul. Remember that. It's the Word of God. And what I'll do is, next week, let's pick it up right here. Can you guys keep your outline and not lose it? Don't let your cat eat your homework. Luke, don't let the cat do more than just eat that homework. Don't put that under your bed. Let's say it that way.